So honored to be here, and I'm so excited for what God is going to do, and I'm so glad you're here. You're in the right place at the right time, and if you think, man, someone manipulated you to be here, it's okay. I believe in Jehovah Sneaky. Sometimes he just gets you in here, because I'm telling you what, there's something for you this weekend. Are you ready? Come on. You got two people ready? Cool. That's awesome. And honestly, Johnny, I just want to say, man, I'm so proud of you, bro. Like, this is the first time we've officially, like, met face-to-face. We've been in contact with social media and phone and all that stuff for a minute now, and he wanted me to come out here this summer, but that didn't work out, so I sent the next best thing, or better actually, my brother. Anybody was here for the summer camp, by the way? Five people, awesome for the summer camp. Amazing. My brother was, he tore it up. He's amazing. He's probably one of the greatest Bible teachers I know. Unbelievable. And it's so honored to be here. So the reason I couldn't come earlier for that, it was because we were right in the middle of having our baby. When was your camp? Like end of July or something, right? Yeah, so we were having our baby girl, our second kid. And so I'll show you a picture of my family. Just a second. Don't spoil it yet. Don't do it. But before I do, I just wanted to just say how proud of you I am of you, bro. And just even looking in this room and just seeing the collection of the kingdom here. How many of you guys know that the kingdom is not one type of person, one kind of background, one kind of race, one kind of economic, one kind of class, but the kingdom is everybody. And I love that I see in this room, you know, and it's one of the most beautiful things ever, bro. And I was honestly just inspired, just sitting here like, man, I'm so proud of you. You're a young guy, just full of Jesus, and I'm so proud of you. This is the beginning. This is your first conference, right? And there's something powerful about firsts. You know, in the Bible, there's a theological term that we call the law of first mention. And there's some power. The first time something's introduced in the Bible, it carries a significant weight. And there's something powerful about first fruits. And just to see what God is already doing here is honestly incredible. And this is the beginning of something huge. And I'm not trying to, like I said, like you said earlier, hype this place up. But man, I come in here inspired, bro. And I'm so proud of you, bro. And like as an older brother. You know, I just want to say, man, I love you and I'm proud of you, dude. And I'm so honored to be here. So, can we give it up? Come on. Man, so good to be here. Real quick, I travel, like you said, from Los Angeles, California. I just got in from Brazil a couple days ago. So I'm on, you know what's crazy? People are like, how do you do this time zone stuff? And, you know, I've been in like literally all over the world. Just in the last month, I've been in Asia. I was in Singapore. I was in Shanghai. I was in London. I've literally been all over the globe. Just in the last month, and people are like, dude, how do you do the time zones? I'm like, my body just never adjusts, so I'm like, I'm never in time zones, so I never have jet lag, you know what I'm saying? It's amazing. And so I got a picture of my beautiful family. They wish they could be with me today, but I'm from here traveling straight to Sacramento, and they're going to meet me there. We're doing a ministry thing there. I know we got screens up here somewhere. My family's just they're so beautiful. Look at them. Oh, my goodness, I know. I feel the same way. Man. And so that's my beautiful wife, Esther, and she is literally God sent. Has anyone ever seen an angel before, like in a dream or in a vision? Anybody seen an angel before? Well, if you've never seen an angel, just look up on the screen. You have all now seen an angel. It's true. You can call it cheesy, but every girl in the world wants their man to call them an angel. And so she's incredible, and that's our firstborn daughter. His name is Aria, and Aria comes from the Hebrew name Ariel, not Ariel the mermaid, but Ariel, which means masculine name, which means lion of God. And so she's the feminine derivative of that, Aria, which means lioness. So she's my roaring lion. She's incredible, and I got to share her story. Her story is incredible. And then my secondborn is Vienna. And yes, I was in Vienna when I was inspired by that. Earlier this year, I was at an event in Austria, and I was like, we came home, we were talking about it. Babe, what do you think? And she's like, I love it. What does it mean? I'm like, I have no idea, but I love it. Vienna's amazing. And then the other guy, that's me, just in case, you know. When we gave birth to our firstborn, like, she's a lion. And she has an incredible story. Maybe I'll share her story. Where literally, I mean, it was the craziest birth ever. And after 43 and a half hours of labor, I mean, it was an attack. Let's just put it that way. This is not what happened to my wife was just not normal. And long story short, I don't want to go into crazy, gory details, but with a lot of loss of blood and consciousness and craziness, my daughter finally comes out after 3.5 hours of pushing, after 40 hours of labor. I mean, craziness, right? Finally, the baby's able to come out after intense doctors come in. I'm talking, you got two grown men pushing on her stomach, like. Think about a horror movie. Like, we lived that, and I'm not even joking. And one nurse jumps on top of the bed, grabs her by the face, starts screaming in her face. Bah! I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy what was going on there. And I didn't even know if my wife was going to be okay. And finally, I thought the nightmare was over. They pull my baby out. And I imagine 3.5 hours of pushing, and she actually got stuck. And this whole thing, they pushed the code blue button, which is basically they only push in extreme situations where they're about to die or they're dead or whatever. And so they pull her out. She's completely purple, lifeless. They hook her up to all these monitors. None of her organs are functioning. And in that moment, the doctor turns to me, and he says, "We tried everything we could." After several minutes, they hooked her up to everything, respirators and stuff up her nose. I don't even know. It was just machines. And he looked at me, and he said, "I'm so sorry. We tried everything we could." You know, in life, there's always two diagnoses. You know, there's always the diagnosis of this world. But then there's a diagnosis of the kingdom. Someone say kingdom. Kingdom. I want someone to say kingdom conference. Kingdom conference. There's always two diagnoses. The diagnosis that you believe is the diagnosis that you will see. The diagnosis that you have more faith in is the diagnosis that you're going to see come alive in your situation, in your life. And so in that moment, I said, no. I was like, thank you, doctor. I you're awesome. You've did everything you could. I appreciate you. But how many of you guys know that when this system fails us, there's a system that never fails us. There's a kingdom that's beyond this world. And in that moment, literally, as nurses and doctors are cleaning out the room, leaving the room, and the doctors even like said, "You can have your last moments now." And I'm in that moment, I'm holding my wife, and she's unconscious at that moment. And I'm thinking, man, is she going to be okay? And I have this thought that comes into my mind, how am I going to tell my wife that we lost our kid? And in that moment, I was like, no. I was like, get thee behind me, Satan. And in that moment, literally, I did the only thing I knew how to do. Call upon the king. And when you call on the king, his domain, as all of a sudden it becomes rule and reign in that place. And I literally just said, I prayed a 10-second prayer. How many of you guys know not about how loud you pray, how long you pray, how much we call authority in your voices, you know? How many of you guys know it's what's inside that comes out? It's not a personality thing. It's not a religious expression. It's what's inside that comes out, right? Out of the abundance of what's inside, we begin to declare. And I'm telling you what, I began to speak life over her. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your heart to begin to activate, blood to circulate, organs, I command you to come to life. Quick 10-second prayer. Within 15 seconds, no one touching her, nothing happened. All of a sudden, this air starts coming out of her. And I was like, that's right, girl, you will breathe. I didn't really say that. I started crying. Oh my God, this is amazing. I'm the drama queen in the family. Like, I'm the one that cried on our wedding day. My wife was like, totally like, dude, come on, be a man. No, this is amazing. That's me. If you watch a wedding video, I cry through the whole thing. Anyways, so in that moment, she comes back to life, and the nurse runs out, gets the doctor back. She's back to life. They run back in, and they put all this stuff. I'm like, dude, you guys tried the first time, it didn't work. Just relax, let God do it. But they wanted to be the heroes, and so they put all this stuff back on, and they were able to, they thought resuscitated. But I'm like, dude, God did it. And so what's crazy is the midwife. I mean, she's been there for 15 years. I mean, can you imagine how many deliveries you've done as a midwife? You're doing deliveries daily, constantly, you know, all the time. And she's just like, of everything I've seen, she's like, I've never seen anything like this before. She says, we lost your daughter. We have no idea what happened. But her name means lion, and the lion roared, and the lion had the last word. Come on now. And so, come on, I'm in. Thank you, Jesus. And my second daughter, Vienna, we were at a conference about a month and a half before the birth, and I said, God, what's she going to be like? You know, give me a little insight, because the Bible says, raise up a child in the way they should go, not in the way that I think they should go, or the way that the other child should go, but the way that child should go. And I'm like, God, what's she going to be like? Because I want to start declaring, prophesying, speaking into her life. It's about a month and a half, 2 months before the birth, And God dropped two verses into my mind. The first one was, you're going to have the fullness of Jesus. I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, you have a lion, now you're going to get a lamb. And I was like, hallelujah. One lion is enough in a family. That girl will tear everything up. That girl is so much energy. And then so Vienna, God's like, she's going to be a lamb. And then the other verse that came to me was that I will send you out as sheep amongst wolves, and you'll be as wise as serpents, as innocent as doves. And just that lamb and that innocence and that doveness of her. And I'm telling you what, this girl, she came out. My wife's like, yeah, we'll do another natural delivery. I'm like, baby, you're a hero. But in the middle of that, we're like, you know what? Let's just pull out a C-section, because it could be crazy again. It's another big baby. We make big babies. And my wife is tight. Like, she's petite, small. Like, she's 5'4.5". She claims 5'5". I'm like, babe, you're 5'4.5". And so literally, so we ended up doing a C-section. So she, she didn't have to struggle through the whole delivery process. She's like, oh, angels are singing. It's all good. And I'm telling you what, this girl is truly a lamb. She's sweet. She's smiling. She doesn't, she's the easiest child on earth. Like, I've never heard of a child as easy as Vienna. Like, she's just like, she just eats smiling. And if she's hungry, she's like, she just gets a little fussy, but like, my wife is just like, if we have kids like that, we'll have 10 of them. I'm like, no, I don't know, babe, but whatever you say. So that's my beautiful family. And so, honestly, so honored to be here and so excited for what God is going to do. Are you ready? Yeah. Someone say kingdom. And so today I want to talk a little bit about the kingdom, but before I get into my message, I wanted to share something that's very near and dear to my heart and to my wife. So how many of you guys are from a different nation? Like, you were born. I know there's a lot of immigrant families here. Like, okay, maybe, you know, or your family's immigrated, but how many people were actually born in a different nation? Come on now, look at this. We got a good chunk of people in this place. You know, how many of you guys have a Slavic background? Your parents came from some kind of a Slavic background. Come on, we got some of those up in this place. Come on now. What other nationalities are represented here? Help me out here real quick. Talk to me. Zimbabwe, come on now. Were you born there? No? So cool. Any other nationalities represented? Brasileira. Eu sou brasileiro em meu coração. Eu amo o Brasil muito, muito, muito. De onde você? Fortaleza? Não. Eu não lembro isso. Que igreja? Costa Neto? Meu pai brasileiro. Meu Deus. Sorry, guys. We just had a moment. We just had a moment. And so I speak a little Portuguese here and there. And that's amazing. We met? That's crazy. That's crazy. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love Brazil. I love Brazil. I love what God's doing there. They're in a national revival. It's crazy. And as I get a chance to travel all over the world, my wife and I, we always wanted to do something bigger than, you know, Jesus preached the gospel, but he also did the kingdom, right? He preached the kingdom and did the kingdom. And for us, we wanted to do something bigger than just us coming in and coming out. And we wanted to do something greater. And for us, both being immigrants, me coming from Moldova, do you got any Moldovan nationality up in this place? Come on now. I knew you guys were awesome. I saw you worship and I'm like, there's something about them. That's Moldova. Yeah, baby. And so we grew up, our family grew up, you know, very in poverty, not extreme poverty, but in poverty and poor. And so our family is a result, like some of your families are a result of people who sponsored them to come here. Did any families get sponsored to come here? Like the original immigrants? Yeah, come on. And that was our family. Like, we are a product of someone who's like, you know what, I don't even know who those people are, crazy Moldovans. But we want to, like, help support that family, get them out here and all that. And so my wife and I, both of us coming from Slavic background. My wife's from Lithuania. I call her my Lithuanian lover. It's true. She loves it. And so we come from, you know, that. And so we wanted to do something that's bigger than us. And so we partnered with an organization called Compassion International. And I'm telling you what, it's one of the greatest organizations ever. We went on a trip with Compassion to the Dominican Republic. And I'll never forget standing in the dumps where you got, like, just mud oozing under your feet, the smell of feces and just sewage all over, garbage everywhere, and these kids running around naked, and you're sitting there, you're like, and your heart just goes out. And I'll never forget, actually, in Fortaleza, where you're from, I'll never forget, we were driving from Mojo Branco. You know Mojo Branco. My goodness, I can't believe I'm from Fortaleza. I just feel like I'm a family now. I swear I'm Brazilian in my past life. I swear. I don't really believe that. Just in case I wanted to clarify that. We were driving through, and I'll never forget, we're driving by, and there was like they call it the slums, the favelas, and we're driving by, and I see literally mud, and I see this kid playing in there, literally playing in dirt, stuff that you just hear stories about. Like, I saw it, and I'm like sitting there, and all I got is my swimming shorts. They call it sungas, which is, I don't even want to talk about that, but she knows what I'm talking about, and my towel. That's literally all I got. I got on, using my swimming shorts and a towel, and we're driving through, and these kids are like looking at me like, white man, help me. I'm like, ah, wish I had something. I got nothing on me, you know. And there's moments that have marked my life. And so my wife and I, we partner with an organization called Compassion, which helps the bottom, the lowest 2% of kids. We're in 26 countries of kids. And I'll never forget, we stood there in Dominican Republic, and I met this girl. My wife and I, man, we got to help this girl. And so for $38 a month, we were able to help support her. She gets food, she gets water, she gets medicine, she gets education, and the greatest of all, she gets connected to a local church that gives her all that. And so, I came this weekend with some packets of this organization that we're partnered with, and I got a kid here. This one is Ethiopia, and actually, my brother-in-law's in Ethiopia right now. It's kind of crazy. I didn't even realize I had an Ethiopian kid right here. But so we have kids that are from South America, Central America, Africa, and parts of Asia. And if you guys are interested to start a sponsorship to help a kid, we're huge advocates of this organization. They do it legit, and your money actually goes to the kid, not the organization. They have a special fund of big givers that give to the organizational stuff. Your money actually goes to the kid. And then you start a one-on-one relationship where you write them letters, they write you letters, and it's incredible. And so if you're interested, you can come talk to me later. We'll have a little table set up in the back. Amen? That's kingdom work. Come on now. Amen. You got your Bibles? I want you to see some scripture today, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing what? Your mama? Hearing the preacher? Hearing your friend? Hearing the media? Hearing what? Come on now, the word. And so I want you to look in your word, because I'm telling you what, something arises in us when we look into the word. Amen? And so I love how you titled this conference Kingdom Conference. And there's something powerful about the kingdom, and it's something sometimes we don't understand in our culture, because we're not from a kingdom culture, we're from a democratic culture. And so sometimes it's hard to understand the kingdom. Now, let's just rewind in time. We know what, you know, Genesis chapter 1 happened, the garden, the beautiful place. Man lost what God gave him through sin. And what's crazy is you wonder, why didn't God send Jesus after man fell? Why did he wait 4,000 years? You know what I mean? Like, why didn't he come when Moses was going through some stuff, or when Nebuchadnezzar was in the, you know, in rain? Or why didn't Jesus, sometimes I wonder, like, why didn't Jesus come earlier? Like, there's a lot of moments in history where it's like, man, that would have been a good time to bring a savior, right? But it's interesting that he waited 4,000 years, and I heard one pastor say this, and it's interesting. I mean, I don't know if this is full truth, but this is a really cool insight. Is the Bible says that he came in the fullness of time. The fullness of time means basically at the perfect time. Because here's the thing: is you can't communicate about a culture when the other culture doesn't understand what you're communicating about. Does that make sense? Let me explain. You can't bring the message of the kingdom to a culture that doesn't understand kingdom, right? Like, we went snowboarding today. My goodness, you guys live in paradise. I loved it. It was so much fun. Man, I wanted to kiss the snow, eat the snow, all that stuff. Just never eat yellow snow. That's what they tell me. So here's the thing is, if I was to go and talk about snowboarding in Los Angeles, California, where it's desert and hot, like, it's literally, I'm walking in a t-shirt at night still, you know, if I go and start talking about it, people are like, dude, what are you talking about, man? Let's talk about the beach. Let's talk about surfing. It's a context they don't understand. You know, does that make sense? And so for Jesus to reveal the kingdom, there had to be a context for the right kind of kingdom. And through the Old Testament, we look at kingdoms. We see the kingdom of, you know, all the kings. We look, if you can read through the kings, and you have all these different things. And if you look through the Old Testament, what's interesting about kingdom is the way, like, if I was a king and we had our dominion, right? What does kingdom mean? King's domain, right? Where the king has his domain and he rules. It's not like a presidency where you vote for him and everyone has a say. No, the king has a say. That's about it. And everyone else does, right? And so that's why he didn't come now, because we'd be like, what is kingdom? I don't understand. And so check this out. So through the Old Testament, when you look at kingdom, the way kingdom is portrayed is, if I'm the king and I'm trying to take over some territory, the moment I become king, I kill off everybody. This is what they did. That was the way they did it. And God's like, I don't want to come in that, because they're going to think weird stuff about kingdom. I mean, I don't know. This could be. This is an opinion of one of the preachers, which I'm like, this is actually kind of interesting. And so why did he come in 2,000 years later? Because the kingdom of the Roman Empire was the greatest kingdom in the history of humanity, greater than any kingdom before or after. And so there was what was unique about the Roman Empire and the kingdom of their kingdom was, when they took over a territory, Like, for instance, if I was the Roman Empire, if I would take over this territory, for instance, what I would do is I would send one of my leaders, one of my best people, I would send them to go to that place, and he would literally go to that place, and he would teach them the culture of the Roman Empire, the way you eat Roman food. You would have Roman citizenship. You would learn the Roman language. You'd take on a different culture, which is very similar to what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so now people had an idea of what kingdom was, and now Jesus could come onto the scene. Because now there was an understanding and people could process what it's like. You don't kill a bunch of people off, but when you invade and take over land, you make them look like you. It's unbelievable. And it wasn't like you don't pick and choose. You just go in there. And now if you're a territory, I would send my guy. He would come in there and he would literally just drench you in the understanding and the mindset of this new kingdom now that you have. And so check this out. So now Jesus comes onto the scene. So let's look real quick in Matthew. I just want to read a few verses and we're going to jump into this because it's such a, the kingdom is such a broad topic. And so I was thinking when he named the conference kingdom, I'm like, man, we could literally spend months every single day because there's so much. It's such a rich topic, but so I want to hit on one thing today. But before we do, I want to just lay a quick foundation. So check this out. Let's go with me to Matthew, and we got a couple of verses. We're going to start off in chapter 6, verse 33. It's a verse that if you grew up in the church, you probably know about it. We got it on the screens here. Check this out. It says, but seek ye first, what? Kingdom. It doesn't say, seek ye first anything else. We can go on forever. He says, seek ye first the kingdom. That's the domain of God, where God is king. Because that's the greatest thing you can seek for. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be provided to you, and all these things will be added. Everything will be given to you. When you step into the territory of the king, you now have all the possessions of the king. That's some revelation right there. The moment you step into the domain where the king has possessed, all of a sudden now you have access to everything that the kingdom has. Everything that's in the king's possession, you now have access to. And now, we don't have time for this. I wish I could teach on this more. Next verse. Check this out. Matthew 3, verse 1 and 2. Check this out. In those days, this is the beginning, John the Baptist came preaching what? In the wilderness of Judea and saying what? Repent. Why? The kingdom of heaven has come near. To me, it's interesting. Why did Jesus go and get baptized by John? Because maybe John had an insight and he was preaching the kingdom of heaven is near. And Jesus came to bring the kingdom. Everybody was baptizing at the time. Every religion was baptizing. A bunch of people was baptizing. But he specifically came and was baptized by John because John's like, hey, listen, there's something happening. We're not releasing a religion. We're not releasing just some ideology or some instructions on how to live better. We're releasing a completely different mind shift. It's a different atmosphere. And so John was preaching the kingdom. Next verse. Then Jesus, this is the next chapter, Matthew chapter 4 now. From then on, Jesus began to preach. What did he preach? He preached the salvation of souls. No, he didn't. In fact, being born again is only mentioned one time in Scripture. And it wasn't even to a multitude. It was to one guy at like 2 or 3 in the morning. So check this out. From then on, Jesus began to preach. What did he preach? Repent. What does repent mean? Transform your thinking. Change your mindset. That's what repent means. The word repent is the Greek word metanoia. The essence of metanoia is changing your mindset. Repentance does not mean, we don't have time to go into this, run up to the front of the altar and cry and tell all your sins. That's not repentance. That's cool if you do that. I mean, whatever, you do you. But repentance is actually, it's not even what you say. It's what happens in your mind. The Bible says this word metanoia is a change of mindset. So he says you have to change your mind because you don't understand it. So you have to transform your thinking. Repent because the kingdom of heaven has come near. And Jesus began to go through and teach and bring a completely different system. Completely different system in. One more verse I think we have. Check this out. Now Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in all their synagogues and preaching the good news. What's the good news? Of the, someone say kingdom conference. You're learning something right now? I know this is, sounds like history class, but I'm setting the foundation for something. We're going somewhere. And preaching the good news of the kingdom. Not only preaching the good news of the kingdom, but showing what happens when you step into the kingdom, which is healing of some diseases for some people, just a little bit, partially, part of the time. Is that what it says? What does it say? Healing every disease and sickness, every sickness. In the original, it's every disease and every sickness among the people. And something began to happen. And today what I want to go into is I want to talk to you from this topic, overflow. Someone turn to your neighbor and say overflow. Someone say overflow. God is not a God of lack. God is not a God of poverty. God is not a God of not enough. God is a God of more than enough. God is a God of overflow. Everything he does in extra or excess. He does it more. Have you ever met someone who's just extra? You're like, I am. I'm so extra right now. Like, yes, you are. Anybody, you met someone who's just like over the top, extra, extra? Listen, Jesus is way more extra than anybody. Everything he does is above and beyond. That's his nature. Exceed, the Bible says exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask, think, or even imagine, some translations say. That's what he does. He does it. And so today I want to talk to you from overflow. Let me say overflow. In the kingdom mindset, one of the characteristics, that's one of the characteristics we're talking about today, is this characteristic that our God is a God of overflow, not a God of lack. Some of us who come from more poor places, more poor countries, we have a mentality, a lack mentality. Oh, I shouldn't do that, or oh, I can't do that, or oh, I don't deserve that. And we have this, and we have this mentality that is not kingdom. It is the culture you grew up in. And so God says, through Jesus, he says, now you got to repent, change your mindset, because the kingdom's a different message. So stop thinking the way you grew up, the way your culture grew up, because there's a completely different, it's a shift. I love what Romans 12:2 says, one of my favorite chapters or verses in all the Bible. Romans 12:2, this is actually the best picture of what repentance means. Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed to what? The patterns or the systems of, wow, you did that? Did I tell you to do that? Okay, I did. Cool. I'm glad I did. I don't even remember what verses I gave her. Do not be conformed to this age or the system of this age or the pattern of this world, depending on what translation you use. But be what? Transformed. What? This is metanoia. This is what we're called to. This is what repentance means. Transforming your mentality, your mindset. Stop thinking the way you grew up and start thinking now we have a different kingdom. In the same way that the Romans would go and they would take over the land, but then they would make you, they would literally give you their kingdom and access to their kingdom and access to all their stuff. And you live in their stuff and you eat their food and you ride their horses and whatever else they did back then. I don't even know. By the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. As a youth pastor for many, many years, I know I still look like I'm 21, but I'm a couple years later, I'm 23 now. And the probably one of the top two prayer requests I get, Pastor, please pray for me. And it's always like, you gotta look spiritual, otherwise, you know, they gotta look spiritual. Please, please pray for me, I have a need. I don't know what God wants, what God's will is for my life. That's literally every single person wants to know the will of God for life. Because here's the thing, is you're all created for a purpose. And inside of us is this desire to live in the purpose that you were created for. And this was designed for a purpose. And if this had a soul, it would want to be functioning the way it was designed. Dogs want to function like dogs. Horses want to function like horses. Come on now. They don't want to function... The way they were designed to function, that's what we are crying out to function like. That's what's inside of us, right? And so he sticks this out. He says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because when you renew your mind, then you know his will. How do you know his will? Renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? Think his thoughts. Get into the word. My goodness, it's that easy. You want to know the will of God for your life? Spend time with him. Don't come and get up the prophetic word. I love the prophetic word. We're going to prophesy. We're going to lay hands on people. It's going to be amazing. People are going to be healed. It's going to be awesome. Stuff's going to happen in here. But the truth is, if you're looking for a man to tell you what to do, you missed it. Transform your mindset. Think have the mindset of the King, the mindset that God gives us. And the moment you begin to step into that, all of a sudden, it's impossible for you to miss the perfect, good, pleasing will of God. Impossible. You're like, oh, I just don't want to miss it. You can't. But here's the thing is, I love using this example. You cannot turn a parked ship, right? The ship has to be moving to go the direction it's supposed to go, right? You can't turn it if it's parked. And a lot of people are parked and they're wondering why things are happening in their life. Maybe you should start moving. Listen, get in his presence, get with him, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to fulfill his will. Just change, transform your mindset. Stop thinking stupid. Come on now. And start thinking kingdom. And start thinking the way he thinks, his thoughts, his ways. And all of a sudden, when you start thinking about it, even if you make mistakes, God works all things together for good. And his good isn't like, okay, he makes it pretty good. His good means perfection. His good is the ideal good. It doesn't get better than his good. We say, oh, that was pretty good. His good is like, there's nothing better. And so if you want to know his good, all of a sudden, when you begin to transform your mind, I love this verse because, throw it up here one more time, that verse. Check this out. It's getting hot up here. Check this out. Conformed, do not be conformed. What does conformed mean? Conformed means do not look like, do not copy this system, this world system. Do not live like it, because the truth is, the reason he had to say that is because it's natural and easy for us to do that. Living like this world is easy. Getting high and drinking and smoking, that's easy. That's not freedom, that's bondage. Oh, I just want to be free. I want to go do whatever. No, that's actually called bondage. I'm free because I don't need that. Come on now. That's a whole nother topic. We don't got time for that. That was for somebody here today. Don't be conformed, because it's easy to conform. Because we come from this earth. It's easy to conform to this earth. But he says, but be transformed. This word transformed is the word metamorpho or metamorphosis, where we get the word metamorphosis from. This word is used in two positions, one for Jesus, one for us. The one time it's used for Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, or Mount of Transformation, whatever you want to call it. It's that same word. And Jesus was transfigured, a.k.a. he was metamorphosized, whatever that Greek word is. I'm butchering it. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'll speak some Portuguese, but not Greek. And so all of a sudden, Jesus was transfigured, transformed. That's that same word is used for us now being transformed. It's the same word that we use when this insect, this ground-crawling insect, no good for nothing, all of a sudden turns into a beautiful sky-flying, you know, masterpiece. And that's literally the same process, what it means. And that transformation happens by repentance, by the transformation of your thinking. When you stop thinking stinking, come on now, because we got a lot of stinking thinking. And we got a lot of messy mindsets. Come on now, don't slap your neighbor, but nudge them and say, no messy mindsets. Turn your other neighbor and say, no stinking thinking. And we got a bunch of messed up thinking, and that's what repentance means. Change your mentality to think like him. Then you will discern what is the good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. Someone say hallelujah. So if you want to live in the will of God, that's it. That's it. That's all you got to do. John 10:10 says this. You guys know this verse. The enemy comes to do three things. What is it? The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's good at it. He's better than any mafioso that you may be met. Better than that thug in your high school that beat you up or whatever. He is a destroyer, and that's what he comes after. He comes after to destroy you. What does he come to destroy? Mindset. Because the kingdom is accessed by mindset. Transformation is accessed by mindset. Everything starts, everything happens from the mind, from the transformation of our thinking. The moment we turn our stinking thinking into his thinking, all of a sudden everything begins to transform in our life. Everything begins to shift and change. And so check this out. So And that's the way we go from the system of this world to kingdom living. Someone said kingdom living. And we go from living just like this world, thinking like them, feeling like them. Come on, we live in the most emotional culture of all time, probably. Ah, he hurt my feelings. It's like, grow up. If that hurt your feelings, like, you're not going to get very far in life. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. It's time to put on our big boy pants, take off our diapers, and live life. That's for our culture. I'm just saying that because that's just the truth. I'm sorry the truth hurts sometimes, but it's the truth. Let's live with a renewed mind, not offense. Come on. And so all of a sudden, when we're transformed, we go from the kingdom of this world and we live into a different system. And the same story, when I was in the hospital with my daughter, I had the reality of this system. And thank God for doctors. They do the best they do. They're educated. They're smart. They help. They're incredible. Thank God for doctors, because if it wasn't for doctors, a lot of Christians would be dead right now. Just saying. But anyways, if you want to come out of this system and get into the kingdom, it's so simple. If you get nothing else this whole weekend, you are renewing your mind. You repent for the kingdom is here, and you cannot access what you do not know. You cannot access what you have not been renewed by. One of my favorite things to do is show my mom all the different features. Every time there's a new iOS out, I'm like, Mom, did you know your phone can do this now? Nah. I'm like, yes. Yes, mother. Yes, oh, holy mother. No, I'm kidding. I don't say that to her. That's weird. But I literally will begin to, I love showing her stuff. I'm like, Mom, did you know that you can open up your garage door from your phone? Nah. I'm like, yeah, Mom. In fact, your system's already set up for it because you got the high-tech stuff. I'm like, Mom, did you know you can turn on your AC, your heater when you're in another country? You can turn on your sprinkler system, for crying out loud. No, I don't believe it. No. What you do not know, you cannot access. What your mind has not been renewed in, you do not have access to. I wish I could break down the knowing in the spirit and the knowing in the soul. We have the intellectual knowing. The Bible actually uses two different Greek words for it. There's the intellectual knowing, and then there's the knowing of the spirit. We call it revelation, or we call it illumination, or whatever. You can use whatever word you want. But it's something that doesn't happen in the logos. It happens in the rhema. You guys know what that means? So logos is, when you read the Bible, it's logos. Logos is a Greek word for the written word of God. Rhema is when the word becomes alive. Have you ever had those moments where you're reading the Bible and all of a sudden you feel like a hand just coming out and slapped you and it was like, that's for you, that's for me. Have you ever had that before? You ever been slapped by the word? I love that part where you're like reading and you're just like thinking about something else, and all of a sudden you read something and you're like, whoa! Yeah, those moments, that's when the logos becomes rhema. That's when it goes from intellect to revelation. That's when something is breathed now. All of a sudden, this pneuma, this breath from the spirit, this life begins to come out, and all of a sudden now it's transformed. And so when you live from the spirit and you live from receiving with, you transform your mindset to receive from the spirit, everything begins to change in your life, and all of a sudden your reality begins to look like his reality. The reason people are still stuck in sin, and we're going to maybe hit on this a little bit tomorrow. Get ready. Tomorrow's going to be amazing. It's going to be Holy Ghost. It's going to be awesome. If the reason people still live in sin is because their mind is not renewed, because they still got stinking thinking. That's it. The reason people are still sick is because their mind is not renewed. What sin is to the soul, sickness is to the body. And guess what? In your spirit, you are 100% sinless and 100% set free from all sickness and all disease. 100%. There is no infirmity in your spirit. And so to access in the kingdom, the spirit, to access what's in the spirit realm, God's realm, kingdom realm, there's a lot of ways to describe it. To access that, you have to change your mindset, change your thinking. And all of a sudden, when you change and realize out of revelation, not just information, not just, a lot of preachers now are trying to inspire people. Listen, inspiration is not revelation. Inspiration's cool. It gets your emotions going. That's a soul thing. I don't want to be inspired. I want to be transformed. I'm only transformed when I begin to receive from the Spirit. Come on now. And we got a lot of people preaching and they're doing all these things and people are like, yeah, this is amazing. And they go back and they're still living in the same garbage. They're still going through the same stuff. Why? Because they got emotionally tickled but their mind didn't get transformed. Come on now. And I want to live like him. I want to be like him. I want to access everything that's in the kingdom. So I go to my mom's house and I show her, Mom, do you realize what this has the capacity to do? Bible says people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. What you don't know will kill you. Remember what Paul says when he's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he's teaching on the communion. And he's like, listen, you guys got the blood. That's cool. You guys got the forgiveness part. But you guys are not understanding what the body was for. Therefore, because you're not understanding it, many of you are sick, ill, and dying. So stop being sick, ill, and dying. How? By getting a revelation of what the body has done. I'm glad you got a revelation of the forgiveness. Now get a revelation of the body. And when you get a revelation of the body, what you're dealing with today is a result of what you know. The way you're living today is a direct result of how much, not just information you have, but revelation. And the only thing I cannot give you, I can impart miracles into your life. I can see healing in your life. You don't even got to have faith. I pray for people who don't even have faith. I pray for people who are like, I don't even want to be healed. Well, then I'm just like, okay, fine, you don't want to be healed. But listen, I can impart kingdom stuff to you, but the only thing I cannot do is transform your mind. I cannot get into your mind and turn it. I can't do that. That's something you got to do. That's something that happens when you begin to wash yourself with the word the Bible says, and all of a sudden we're beginning to be transformed. And when we get in him, all of a sudden we start thinking like him. And we stop believing lies, and we start believing truth. And when you believe the truth, you shall know the truth. What happens? You'll be set free. Why aren't you set free? Because you keep getting inspired. You tickle your emotions. That's what's happening. Oh, that was a good sermon, Pastor. I said hallelujah. I took notes. And you go home, and you're living in the same sin for 20 years. Well, some of you guys aren't even 20 years old. For 2 years. And you're living in the same garbage. Over. And over and over and over, and you're wondering, what's the problem? Because what you're doing is you're doing the religion, but you're not doing what's in the kingdom. And your mind is not renewed to receive it. And so the enemy, the Bible says, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants you to have stinking thinking. He did that to Adam, and he prevailed. Did God really say? That's how the devil sounds, in case you ever wondered. He says, did he really say that? That's not really what he meant. What's he doing? The devil's thing is he wants to steal everything that God wants that has given you. And he wants you to think from his standpoint, because if he can get you to think wrong, he now owns you. The only thing the devil can do on this earth is what we allow him to do in this earth. I'll drop the mic right there. The only thing the devil can do in your life is what you allow him to do in your life. I'm going to say that one more time. If you got some stuff going on in your life, maybe you should renew your mind, get out of the stinking thinking, because there's something that God wants to do in your life. God wants to transform you. And I'm telling you what, the moment you begin to say yes to him and you begin to change your mind, that's the process of sanctification. And day by day, I begin to wash myself with the word, with truth. And when I know truth, then I'm set free. Truth alone cannot set you free. There's a bunch of truth right now in this room. All over this Bible, there's a lot of truth, and there's a bunch of people that aren't set free because you don't know it. Maybe you have an understanding. Maybe you read about it. Maybe you saw somebody else deal with it, but you don't have for you, it's information in the soul. It's not revelation. Bible, you know, you have two minds. You have a mind in your soul, and you have a mind in your spirit. The mind of Christ is in your spirit. The mind of intellect is in your soul. In the same way, you got two eyes. Paul says, what no eye has seen. I, physical, seen, spiritual. You have two ears. What no ear, physical, has heard, spiritual. What no mind, physical, has understood, revelation, spiritual. Two different systems. And we're trying by information to be transformed. Information only makes you religious. But relationship with him, renewing your mind, being with him, all of a sudden now we begin to tap into a kingdom. And I'm telling you, when you tap into the kingdom, you never want to live in this system again. And once you tap into the kingdom, you start accessing the benefits of the kingdom. I love traveling because I got the U.S. passport. It's amazing being a U.S. citizen. I'll never forget. I was in Siberia. This was when they just passed this rule where basically you got to preach and you got to have a religious visa and you got to do all these things. I'll never forget. I'm preaching, and it was good. I think it was good. Bunch of people like just it was good. And in the meeting is a guy equivalent to like an FBI agent. And like in a lawyer, a type of a person who deals with law stuff of the government. They're sitting in this room. Afterwards, thank God they didn't shut me down because they could have been like, well, we don't like this guy, let's get him out. But one guy actually loved it. He's like, he started asking me questions. It was crazy. It was actually pretty interesting. So they're like, hey, we want to see you in our office. So I had to drive down to the police station or whatever station. We're there for 4 hours. And they're asking me all these questions. The guy's looking through my U.S. passport. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. U.S. passport, baby. He's like, this is cool. I'm like, I know. He's like, look how boring our passports are. But all of a sudden, now I'm protected because I did everything legally. I got my visa. I did it right. I am protected now. And if they try to do something to me, guess what? My government's going to come after them because I am a citizen, and they're going to do something about it, and it carries a weight. When you're a citizen of the kingdom, you have rights of the kingdom, and you can access them. You know what miracles are? Accessing the kingdom. And so, God is a God of overflow. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God came to do what? To give you life. And gave it to you how? Overflow. That word abundantly is more than you need. But God is not a wasteful God. No, he's not a wasteful God. Why does God do things in excess? Why does God give more? Why does God do more than what we need? Why? What's that? Someone says something? Help me out, my man. Truth. Come on now. Yeah. We think from the perspective of this world. And God's like, man, I got kingdom. Come on, man. You're a preacher. Amen. You need to prophesy. Check this out. Life is for you. Abundantly is for everybody around you. Why does God overflow? Because he doesn't. I don't know if you're ready for this. Are you ready for this? Two people already? I'll preach to the two people. Come on now. Listen, life is for you. He's given you everything you need, but he also overflows because the kingdom is not just for you. Everything he does for you, he doesn't do it just to you. He wants to get it through you. We have this weird poverty, weak mentality. Oh God, I just need $100 to pay for this. Really? That's how small our prayers are? God, I need $100. And I know that's easy for you. But let's give me $1,000 because you know what I can do with that? I got 10 other people that I can give $100 to, and I got them taken care of too. God loves those kind of prayers. Oh God, I just need a car just big enough for me, my wife, and my couple kids in the back. Just God's like, listen, I don't want you just to haul your family. I want you to like get other people in here. Listen, God does everything. We're gonna go through a few scriptures. His nature, the kingdom is a kingdom of overflow. He never has lack. He's never a God of less than enough. He's a God of more than enough. Everything he does, he goes extra. Why? Because it's not just for you. It's for everybody around you. This kingdom conference is not just for his youth ministry. That's why I'm so glad I see this in here. And I was so inspired because he's an overflow guy. I don't want it just for my few, my four, no more. No. He's like, listen, the kingdom is for everybody. And I want to see people just like the Romans. Man, they would come in and they're like, this is all, everything we got is for you too. And guess what? When you get it, we become more powerful. Woo! You know why Jesus said? I'm so glad Jesus went. Aren't you guys glad Jesus went to heaven? He went to heaven and he said, I'm gonna send you my spirit, right? And he says this, he says, all the things I've done, what does he say? You will do. And what does he say after that? He says, and what? And what? And more than Jesus? What does that mean? Watch this. Jesus was a physical body that housed Christ. This is. I don't have time to dissect this. Jesus, the Bible says that unto us remember this? Child is born, unto us a son is given. The child is born, Jesus, the son is given, Christ. Jesus is the physical that housed the Christ. He's Jesus Christ. Because the spiritual being cannot be on this earth without a physical body. Lucifer could not be on this earth without a snake. God could not be on this earth without a Jesus. So the Christ came into Jesus. Jesus was the child. Christ was the son given. I don't got time to go there. Watch this. And so all of a sudden, when we realize what God wants to begin to do through us, and he says that verse that I just quoted, he says, what I do, greater things you shall do. Why? Because Jesus was one house that had the Spirit in him. Now, thank God for Pentecost. You can be Pentecostal or not. You can speak in tongues or not. That's not the point. I love Pentecost. Why? Because now the Spirit came to dwell inside of believers. And so now it's not just Jesus carrying the Holy Spirit. Now it's everybody who believes in him carries it. So what before used to be one doing everything, now all of us should be doing it. That's why greater things you shall do, because now we got territory we're covering. Come on now. All over the world. His Spirit is everywhere. The problem is we got a bunch of bodies that aren't submitting to what God wants to do. Come on now. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. There you go. He comes to give you life and life abundant. Life is for you. Abundance, overflow is for everyone that's around you. Listen, we're not called to live this earth to just have the kingdom in me. But everywhere I go, something happens. Let's go into one passage here, and we're gonna talk about the story real quick, and we're gonna start wrapping up. Check this out. This is in Luke chapter 5. We're gonna read verse 1-11. Love this story. It's just one little snippet of the kingdom of God coming to earth. Watch this. One day, Jesus was preaching on the shores of Malibu. That's what it says in my Bible. Sea of Galilee, whatever. Great crowds pressed in to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats. Now, that's very important. Someone say two. Someone say deuce. Two empty boats on the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Verse 4. And when he was finished speaking, he said to Simon, go out where it is deeper. Someone say deeper. And let down your nets for catch. Verse 5. Master. Someone say master. Peter replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down my nets again. Verse 6. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Verse 7, a shout for help brought the partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled and on the verge of sinking. And Simon Peter realized what had happened. He fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord. Someone say, Lord, please help me. I'm a sinful man. Verse 9, and he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, and as were the others with him. Verse 10, and his partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the other boat, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid, for now you'll be fishers of people. And when they had landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Watch this. This is such a cool story. Jesus is walking by the beach. That's why I moved to California, because I want to be like Jesus and walk on the beach. He's walking on the beach. Why did Jesus walk on the beach? Not because he liked the beach, but because he liked the people that walked on the beach. We got a bunch of people who want to come into church and be this refrigerated Christianity. Jesus did his ministry where the people were. Jesus went where the people were. And I'm telling you, we got a bunch of Christians that are hiding out in churches, are afraid. And Jesus, I want to live the life Jesus did. He went where the people were because they were sick, dying, hurting. They needed to hear this good news. And he went everywhere the people were. Come on now. I want to be like Jesus. And as he's walking on the shore, I love the story. So here's Jesus walking over here, walking on the beach, talking to people, sharing all these amazing things. And then he sees Peter over here. Now, Peter just fished all night, worked hard, and now Peter's a professional fisherman. I mean, this guy's got probably 10 million followers on Instagram. He's got blogs. He's got training videos. He knows how to fish, where to fish, what time to fish, what kind of nets to use, where to shop for the nets, how to sew the nets, how to put. I mean, this guy is a genius, right? This guy's a business guy. He knows what he's doing. Now, imagine. He did everything he was supposed to do, had all the right stuff, had the right time, the right place, the right, everything was perfect. He knows what he's doing. But how many of you guys know that the kingdom of this world or the system of this world will fail you? You can read the 10 ways to become successful and not be successful. You can read the 3 ways to become a millionaire and not be. You can do all the stuff, but I'm telling you what, this system will always have a lid, a limit, and a ceiling. Always. But I love God and I love his system because there is no lid, there is no system, and the impossible actually is always possible. The word impossible doesn't exist in his system because everything is possible. And all of a sudden he sees that Peter did everything he tried, everything he could do. He's frustrated. Can you imagine? He's probably thinking, man, how am I going to feed my family? How am I going to provide sushi for all the restaurants nearby? Like what am I going to do? We got a bunch of restaurants here that are asking, give us fish. I got nothing to give them. They're going to close my account. They're going to go to somebody else. That's it. I'm going to go bankrupt overnight. Now, that's what business people think. Why? Because they think from the system of this world. And the system of this world is limited. And the system of this world only has a certain amount of money. And so Peter, frustrated. I can imagine. Fisherman. I've never seen a fisherman who's got a clean mouth. Unless he's a believer, there's some that I've met maybe. But even then, it's like, when they go fishing, it's like, it's another story. In the church, oh yeah, hallelujah, praise Jesus. Anyways, I can imagine, he's probably kicking his boat. He's probably throwing his, he's frustrated. He's like, man, ah. And then Jesus, all happy, he got sleep that night. Peter wasn't sleeping at all. He got sleep, he feels good. He's walking on the beach. It's a nice sunny day in the Sea of Galilee. Hey, Peter, take me on a boat ride. Are you kidding me, Jesus? I had the worst night of my life. I don't even know what's going to happen now. Can you imagine the panic that is going in? And Jesus is like, let me get a boat ride. Now, here's my question in the scripture that I finally got answered. I always had this question. He saw two empty boats, right? We saw that, two empty boats. There was James and John's boat, and there was Peter's boat. Empty boats. Now, what's amazing, I studied the Sea of Galilee, and I studied the way the fishing works, because I love doing agriculture. Because when you know the culture of the time, and you know, you get more revelation. It's amazing. So I'm studying how it works, how the flow of fish works, when they, all that stuff. I'm going through it. And what's amazing is this area was actually a fishing port, so there was probably more boats there. The problem is Jesus noticed the empty boats. The boat is a picture of what's given to us in our life. It's our school. It's our family, it's our education, it's our career, it's what we're given in this life. That's a picture of our boat. When your boat is full of you, it's going to be empty of him. But when you step out of your boat, he says, oh, I can use an empty boat. I can use someone that's not full of themselves. Come on now. We got a bunch of people that are full and trying to figure it out. And I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to figure this out. And Jesus is like, listen, I see two empty boats. There's James and John's boat and there was Peter's boat. Now, here's what's amazing to me. I was asked this question in the Bible. I ask Bible weird questions. Why did Jesus pick Peter's boat, not James and John's boat? Right? Come on, man. It's like, Jesus, why did he get the sick conference? Why didn't they get the conference? You know what I mean? It's like, what in the world? Why did Jesus? Do you got favorites or something? What is it? What was it? We'll find out later. Ooh, this is so good. Are you ready for this? I love these questions. I love asking the Bible questions because when you ask the Spirit questions, he's the greatest teacher of all teachers. Come on now. And so check this out. So he gets in the boat. He's frustrated. But here's the thing is to understand Luke chapter 5, you got to understand chapter 4. In chapter 4, Jesus was in Peter's house. Remember that story where he healed the mother-in-law? He blessed them, taught them, even healed mama. Come on now. She started cooking, cleaning. And it was amazing. And Peter was excited. So have you ever felt like you had to do something to someone because they did something for you? Have you ever felt that before? Or like, because someone bought you a Christmas present, you're like, ah, don't buy me a present because now I got to buy you a present. You know, have you ever felt that, like you do something out of obligation? I've totally done that. Or I mean, I remember a guy doing that. Like one of my good friends, like I bought him a present and I expected one out of him too. I was a youth pastor. He was my main worship leader. I was like, I got him a sick Gucci scarf. Well, it wasn't Gucci, but it was what I could afford at the time. Felt like Gucci to me at the time, but I bought him a sick scarf. He's like, bro, you don't need to. I'm like, dude, just, and I'm like, you better give me something good too, boy. You know, have you ever done something? And I think, could it have been possible that Peter allowed him to get into the boat because Jesus just a chapter earlier, maybe a day, I don't know how much earlier, was at his house, blessed him, did all this for him, and he almost felt like an obligation. He's like, dude, listen, I need to get home. I need to figure out what I'm going to do. I got to maybe start a new career. I don't know what. This is crazy. I'm about to go insane, and you want to go boat riding. Seriously, Jesus, not the time, not the place. But all of a sudden, he gets in the boat. He takes out, he teaches the people. When he finishes teaching, I love this. He says, hey, Peter, go out where it is, what? Deeper. Now, do we have any fisher people? Any fishermen up in this place? Anybody like fishing? You got a fisherman right here? We got you like fishing? So do I don't call you a fisherman. Do I call you a fisher lady or do I call a fisherwoman? It just doesn't sound right. It just doesn't roll off the tongue right. So check this out. I've gone fishing, but I'll never forget. I was in Portugal and I just finished preaching at a conference, and we went to the coastline, and the guy's like, "Hey, we're gonna go and we're gonna eat some fresh just caught fish right now." Actually, is when they're bringing all the fish in. I'm like, "Oh, sweet, let's go." So we get a bag with us and we go, and I've never seen a sight like this in my life, where they got these two massive boats. And here's the thing: when you fish with nets, you don't fish in the deep end. You fish in the shallow end. And the way that the water system works is in the Sea of Galilee, I began to study this, is the fish go feeding at a certain time. And it's not in the middle of the day when Jesus was trying to go fishing. Jesus told Peter to go to the wrong place at the wrong time. Isn't that like something he would do? Why? Because his kingdom is not like our kingdom. What feels like the wrong time and the wrong place for us, there is no wrong place and no wrong time for him. He's outside of time. It's a different system. So we can't try to logicalize, if that's not even a word, it's probably not. We can't even try to understand what he does in his system by trying to process the way things happen here. Now, I'm not saying you need to go live in La La Land and start pretending and all this weird stuff. No, be normal. Get a job and work. And listen to the voice of God. And sometimes his voice will not sound right. You know what I mean? I'm not saying be a weirdo, right? Come on, we got a lot of weirdos floating around, you know? But check this out. All of a sudden, he's like, gets in his boat. He starts teaching. He's like, go out where it's deeper. I remember in Portugal, they caught the fish on the shore. When the tide was going in and they were out there and they were ready at the right time and the fish were feeding. And all of a sudden, they bam, would come in. And the catch was on shore. And there was, I don't even know how many thousands of birds in the air. The birds are coming down, grabbing the fish. It was one of the most cool. I got a video of this. It was crazy. This is probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm like, this is crazy. So I'm reading the story and I'm like, man, Jesus, you have no idea what you're talking about. Because imagine a carpenter who works with wood telling a fisherman how to fish. It's the same thing as a lawyer teaching a heart surgeon how to do heart surgery. No, I don't want a lawyer, you know what I mean? Like working on my medical stuff. It's like, dude, you do my taxes, you do my law, and you know what I mean? Like you just don't mix. And so you got Jesus, who is great at building fishing poles and boats, but you know nothing about it. And so all of a sudden, Peter's sitting here like, okay, carpenter, really? Okay, you want me to go where it's deeper in the middle of the day, where there's nothing? We tried to haul it all last night. And look what Peter said. I think Peter was being a little sarcastic because of the terminology that we see here. He says, but if you say so. And here's why I get that interpretation, because he calls him this word master. This word master in the Greek, I wrote it down. I forgot. I can't remember all the Greek words always. I wrote it down. Check this out. It's this word epistata, which means teacher, or means instructor, or means someone who knows what he's talking about. I think Peter was kind of mocking him, saying, okay, teacher of fishing. Sure, okay, whatever you say. I think Peter was kind of like, he was doubting him because of the word he used for him. He just called him like someone who's a teacher or a master or a, someone who understands what he's talking about. He's like, okay. And he calls him this word epistata, which is a word that you use for someone who understands what they're talking about, right? He didn't call him, no, listen to me. The way that you see him is the way that you're going to receive from him. If you see him as a healer, maybe you'll get healed. You see him as a savior, you'll be saved. You see him, the way that you view him as a prophet, as a good man, you're going to get from him how you see him. But I love his grace. Sometimes his grace just overflows. Even when we are like all jacked up and he still just comes in and just blesses us. He's just unbelievable, right? His grace is unbelievable. And so Peter is like, okay, master, okay, let's go. Let's do it. So he goes to the wrong place at the wrong time. Someone say kingdom. Here's the beautiful thing about the kingdom. There is no wrong place and there is no wrong time. Everywhere that Jesus steps his foot, his kingdom is there. We're going to talk about this tomorrow. Your kingdom, we're talking about the Holy Spirit inside of you. This is going to be amazing. Make sure you come back, bring somebody with you. Let's pack this place out double. Let's have people lined up against the back. It's gonna be amazing. I'm telling you what, when everywhere that Jesus steps, the law system changes. The jurisdiction changes. I just came back from, where did I come back? Brazil. I'm in Brazil. And imagine there's the U.S. Embassy in Brazil. This is kingdom right here. The embassy is an extension of the kingdom, right? So when I'm in Brazil, I have to obey the law of Brazil. The moment I cross the fence of the embassy, the Brazil law ceases to exist. It's now the law of the United States of America. I am on U.S. territory, even though it's in Brazil, I'm on now on U.S. soil. This is now U.S. territory with U.S. laws. Here, Brazilian law. Here, U.S. law. On the whatever side of the fence I'm on, that's the law system that now I have to submit to. Watch this. Everywhere Jesus goes, he is the embassy of the kingdom of God. He is. Everywhere he steps, the law system changes. That's why healing is so easy. We make it so hard because we're trying to achieve something and go for something. But it's actually super easy because everywhere I step, all of a sudden, now the atmosphere of heaven is here. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when I know my rights, I access my rights. And then bam, supernatural happens. Bam, things that you can't explain begin to happen. Bam, what happened in the hospital, a supernatural moment begin to happen. And I'm telling you what, when you begin to realize what you have access to, all of a sudden you can begin to see that dominion, that kingdom in that place. And so the moment Jesus steps on that boat, that is no longer territory of the Sea of Galilee, that is no longer the rules of the Sea of Galilee, that is now the rules of heaven. And even if there was no fish, I don't know where those fish came from. It don't matter how it gets there. It doesn't matter how the miracle comes, how the situation is figured out. But the truth is, he begins to do it because that's his nature. And all of a sudden, stuff just begins to happen. Jesus never panicked. We panic. Come on now. Oh, no. I'm in the wrong place. Oh, no. I'm missing out. Listen, everywhere you are, I no longer have FOMO. You know FOMO, fear of missing out? It's a disease that our generation has. That's why we're stuck to our phones. What's my friend doing? What is that girl? It's like we're FBI agents now tracking everybody, right? Come on now. I know you're stalking that girl for 5 years now. So check this out. I no longer have the fear of missing out because everywhere I am, I'm in the right place because I have a renewed mind. Right now, being in Denver, Colorado, at Kingdom Conference is the best place to be in the world. If you buy me a trip to go to Hawaii, I might think about it, but I'm going to say no. We'll see. I'll pray about it. But listen, this is the best place to be. Why? Because everywhere I am, all of a sudden now the will of God can begin to manifest because I am now under a different law system. I'm under a different rule system. The kingdom of God is everywhere I step because I have the same spirit that was in Jesus, exactly the same, no different, not less. The same spirit now lives in me. And what he did, now I can do the way he accessed the kingdom. He was the picture of a perfect son. Come on now. And now we have that spirit, and now we can be that son that Jesus was. And now we can do what Jesus did. We can live like Jesus did. And now we can access the kingdom. That's what we call supernatural. That's what we call miracles. It's because when the kingdom of God invades the kingdom of this world. And so he gets in. And you guys heard the story? Boatload of fish. But I love this is Jesus didn't just give him enough for the day. He filled up his boat. Not only did he fill up his boat, and this is crazy. Actually, this is another cool revelation. Check this out. In verse 5, he says, all let down. So in this boat, it's Peter and Jesus, two of them. Peter's in the boat, Jesus in the boat. Jesus was now the captain of the boat. Peter was in his boat. And so in verse 5, he says, now I'm gonna let down my nets. And then in verse 6, it depends on the translation. Does this one have it? Oh, I love it. You guys got a good translation up here. This is awesome. And when they, verse 5, and I will let down my nets. In the kingdom, it's not you. It's a different system. You're now doing it with him. And he says, now when they did this, come on, man, Jesus was doing it. Peter threw the nets in and Jesus was like, no, Peter, it ain't gonna happen if you do it. I understand the kingdom. And so watch, when you begin to listen to what he says, all of a sudden you have access and all of a sudden now the multiplication happens and they caught the great number of fish. Come on now. Peter did it, but Jesus with him brought it in. I love this picture. And then they bring it in. And here's why I believe that Jesus picked Peter's boat. Because Peter had a revelation that wasn't about himself, like most Christians do today. I need a healing. I need a provision. I need a miracle. Give me my prophetic word. Pray for me. Lay hands on me. For me. And it's just about me, and that's it. The first thing Peter did when he got blessed is what? He signaled to his partners. Actually, other translations say, shouted, James! John! Come! Listen to me. The moment you start stepping into something that's of God, I'm telling you what, it's not just for you. Life is for you. He came to give you life, but he gave it to give it also abundantly. The abundance is not for you. So stop hogging what God gave you, because you multiply when you give. Those who give, it's a different mindset. When we give, we lose. That's our system. In his system, I don't even worry about giving anymore. This year, my wife and I, in 2019, we said we want to give more money away. We want to do more things. We want to take more invitations that maybe can't pay what we need to pay. We want to give as much as we can, because I got a revelation of him. That when I give, only then something begins to overflow in my life. And Peter was like, wow, what most Christians would have done, I got my boatload. Woo, I'm blessed. Blessed and impressed. I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to sell this fish. I'm going to ice it. They didn't have ice. They salted it back then. I just became wealthy. I'm going on vacation for 5 years. That's how a lot of people think, is about me. I got to get it for me, and then I can do this. The kingdom, that's a different mindset. And Jesus is like, man, I want to pick this guy, because it's not just about him. There's something about it. I'm telling you what, when God gets you, and it's not just about you getting the prophetic word and you getting the prayer and you getting the feeling and you getting the emotion and you getting that. And when it stops being about you, but you receive to give. And I'm telling you what, the moment you get the smallest little thing, give it away. Because when you give it away, I'm telling you what, something begins to happen in your life. I'll never forget it. I was going to share the story tomorrow. I won't go into the details, but I broke my neck snowboarding. If you come up close to me, I have a scar across my neck right here where they literally had to reconstruct my neck. I have dead person discs and bone pieces in my neck reconstructed. Doctors told me, this system told me, this kingdom told me, you're a paraplegic. I had no feeling in my upper body. I didn't have control over my hands. I couldn't put my fist together. I couldn't clench my fist. And I could move it a little bit, but I was... because it was a neck injury, so my whole upper body, my feet were fine, my whole upper body was unfunctional. Doctor said, you're going to be a paraplegic. I said, thank you for your report, but I'm not of this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm from a different kingdom. I'm like, thank you for your report. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I love you. Within 6 days, doctor said, you're going to be bedridden for 9 months. As the process heals, maybe you'll get some of the feeling back. But in the situation, they said, you're lucky that you're, because my vertebrae broke so bad that if it was just a little bit more pressure, it would have caved in and my spinal cord would have been injured. And then that's it. I got brain problems the rest of my life. And the doctors were like, even the fact that you're actually in your consciousness, the fact that you're all there, it's nothing short of a miracle. And so anyways, crazy story. Within 6 days, I literally go, I don't have time to tell the story, because I'm not even trying to tell about the story. After the story is what I'm trying to tell. God supernaturally comes in the room. I get healed. I mean, it's just a crazy story. Maybe I'll go into it tomorrow, but check this out. Here's where it gets crazy. Because I believed not this, because what you believe is what you will see in your life. To the level that you're renewed is the level that your life will be transformed, not just your mind, because your mind is the beginning, then your emotions and your will is transformed. And what you see in your physical gets transformed. So check this out. I have a little over $100,000 of debt now, because I didn't have insurance. I'm a college student. Long story short, I applied for two scholarships, one school scholarship. I was a student at University of Washington in Seattle at the time. And so I applied to the school to help me with some money. And I also applied for you can ask government assistance. You can get cash assistance and food assistance. They used to call it food stamps. Now they call it EBT, I think. or something like that. So I got an EBT card, and so I applied for these two different things. And here's the crazy thing: I bought $100,000 of debt. I got no money in my name, and I'm sitting. And this is the time where the economy's trash. No one's got money. I'm asking every uncle. I'm like, Mom, sell your car, sell your house. I need to pay, you know. And I can't get a penny. And I need it within a couple months. I need to put down $30,000 just to get the down payment in. So my payments are super low, and they actually end up forgiving some of the debt. But if not, then my payments are super high, and I'll be paying literally for the rest of my life. And I'm sitting there like, this is crazy. And I'll never forget. It's my first time where I was able. I walked into a church service. I got my neck brace. I wrapped it with a scarf. So I was like, yeah, what's up? And I walked into the church, and our pastor gets up, our youth pastor. Maybe some of you guys heard of him. You guys heard of a guy named Judah Smith? Yeah, maybe two of you guys. So he was my youth pastor. And so he comes up, and he's like, man, we're in the process of buying another building right in the middle of University of Washington, right on Greek Row, which is like the craziest place to get a building. And this building's worth this amount of money. He's like, listen, we're going to see this campus transform. It's going to be amazing. And he's over there, and he's saying, listen, let's give the biggest offering because this is for a harvest of souls. This is to literally infiltrate and bring the kingdom into the campus of the University of Washington. And everyone's like, yeah, everyone got super excited. Like, come on, we're going to give our biggest offering because this is not even, you know, and all this stuff. But here's the thing. Right before the offering time came up, we were worshiping. A guy comes up to me during worship. I've met him once before. We had a big youth ministry. I met him once before. And he walks up to me and he's like, hey, man, I don't know why, but during worship, I just felt like I needed to give you some money. I'm like, I'll take it. If you feel led to give, I feel led to receive. Come on now. And so he hands me like a stack of 20s. And I'm like, sick. I got $100. I was like, this is amazing. I was like, I need 100,000 of it, but 100 will start, you know? And during this time of giving, all of a sudden I hear the Holy Spirit, give it. Yeah, right. Get behind me, Satan. God doesn't take it away right when he gives. I mean, what is this garbage? What kind of, no. I got blessed. I was trying to justify. I'm like, it's going to be a slap in God's face if I give it because he just blessed me. And now I'm like getting rid of it. Like, that's weird. Like, if someone gives me a gift and I give it to somebody else, like, they're like, you know, and I started like trying to justify my mind. And then the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me and he's like, and then I felt, okay, fine. I'll be a good Christian. I'll give 10%. And I felt good for like about half a second. And I just felt like, no, give it, give it. And I was like, fine, God, I'll be double the Christian, 20%. Because all I had is 20. So like I had to give, you know, I'll give a $20 bill. How about that, God? I'm like, yeah, what's up? I'm awesome, huh, God? You love me, yeah? 20%. And all of a sudden, the buckets are starting to come close. And I'm sweating. I'm not even listening to what's happening on stage anymore. And I'm starting to sweat. If you know you knew that God starts speaking to you, you're just like, oh, like, this is a mess. You become a mess. And all of a sudden, the bucket comes in front of me. And I'm holding this cash. And the Bible says, do not give grudgingly, but give with a cheerful heart, right? I did not give with a cheerful heart. I may have slipped out a profane word. I dropped it in there like, there you go, God. Ugh. It was not a cheerful gift. But I gave it. I was like, you know what, whatever. I was like, it's $100. I was like, I need 100,000. I was like, this $100 ain't going to get me very far anyways. And I was like, you know what, God? Bless your kingdom. There's something about the kingdom that when you give, it's a principle of the kingdom. It's a principle of overflow that when you give, something begins to happen. The next day, I get a call from the social worker who helped me with the applying for the stuff, and she's like, "Hey, good news! Guess what? Right now, while you're not going back to work, you know, the government's going to start paying." I'm like, "How much?" They're like, $500 cash and $500 food. I'm like, "I give 100 and I'm getting 1,000 monthly. That's a good investment. Come on now." I want to give more of those hundreds to get 1,000, right? And I was just like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I just like, I felt like, oh, this is crazy. Literally, they answered the couple days later. And then it's like, hey, by the way, what about that big chunk of money? Like, is the school able to give me a little bit to help with the down payment, to help with just get this process started? She's like, hey, it hasn't gone through yet. And so I think I had like 2 weeks left or a week and a half or something left before I had to give the money. So she calls me a couple days before. She's like, hey, good news. The school approved it. She's like, I've been doing this for 16 or 17 years. And she's like, I've never seen this before. Because she told me earlier, she's like, yeah, the school sometimes will cover the down payment just to help you because you're a student there and with all this different stuff. And usually, she's like, sometimes they'll give you even up to the down payment, which I needed $30,000. And so I was like, man, Jesus, I need $30,000. And she's like, I've been doing this for 16 years. And she's like, I've never seen this before. She's like, the school's going to cover the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, wait, what? And I just like, I just pause in that moment. I'm just like almost like it's out of reality moment. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And she's like, yeah, here's the address. Send it. Put this confirmation number. She's like, send all your bills to them. I'm like, I'm sitting here. She's like, sir, are you there? I'm like, yes. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. She's like, I don't know who you believe in, but whatever you're doing is working. And I'm telling you what, in that moment, we get off the phone, and I'm sitting there. And I don't know if this was God, but I just felt this. I just felt this in my heart that, man, if you would have gave 10%, you know, God would have hooked you up and he would have given you 10%. If you would give 20, oh, man, he would have hooked you up with 20. But because you fully trusted him and just gave, now, I don't know if that's even theologically correct or not, but that was just the thought I had in my mind in that moment. And then I felt so strong. I just like, man, because you were fully gave and you're obedient, watch what I'm going to do. Watch how I'm going to open up the floodgates of heaven. And all of a sudden, something begins to happen when we give. Listen, when we get the revelation of finances, it sets you free. I got a revelation that God is my Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. And when I realize that he does that, I don't worry about money anymore. In fact, I don't pray for finances anymore. I don't. Because I got a revelation of that he takes care of me. Jesus never prayed. In fact, let me tell you this much. Jesus never prayed a prayer asking the Father for anything for himself, ever. There was only one prayer in that way, and that's he said, in when he was sweating blood, he said, let this cup pass over me. But then he says, not my will, but your will be done. That's a different category. But he never prayed a prayer asking the Father for anything for himself. We never see it in Scripture. He never said, oh, I need a place to sleep. Oh, I need this amount of money. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. Oh, can you provide for my disciples? Never, never happened. In fact, the opposite happened. Remember in the feeding of the 5,000? Someone say overflow. After he fed them, what happened? How much was left over? Remember? Everybody was fed, and there was how much left over? 12 baskets. It's not like these little, cute baskets. Baskets, like big old jumbo style. Why? Oh, God, you're a wasteful God. Why would you do too much miracle? Why would you give too much? Why? Because God wants to feed you, but he wants to take you to take that food and take it to the city because there are some other people that need some stuff. And I'm telling you what, everything he does in excess. And here's the crazy part. How did the multiplication happen? Jesus is up there. He says to the disciples come to him, Jesus, what did he send them away? They're panicking. They're going to die here. Oh. It's like, they're not going to die. You chill out, bro. You know? But he's like, what do we do? And Jesus is like, you feed them. Jesus had a revelation they didn't have yet. Feed them. Why? Because Jesus had a revelation. I already have everything I need. I have life. I already have it. It's done. It's finished. I have everything I need already. He already knew that. And he's like, you feed them. He didn't know where. I don't know, but can you imagine the disciples left that conversation thinking like, what is he talking about? Right? You feed them. Because he's like, I've already done everything I need to do. And your answer is already here. Go get it. I think they're like, what do we even look for? I think they're like checking trees for like fruit. They're probably like looking in bushes. Like they're thinking like, what do we do? Finally they find a boy. They're like, Jesus, we got a boy. He's like, I know. I knew he was there. Open your eyes. Right? And they bring the loaves and the fish to him. And what does Jesus do? It's in all four gospels, the same exact prayer. So we know it's legit. All four writers said the same thing. What did he pray? Oh God, please multiply this food. Right? Is that what he prayed? No. What did he say? Thank you. Why? Because he already knew. Listen, the multiplication didn't happen in the hands of Jesus. The multiplication happened in the hands of the giving. As they gave, it multiplied. The multiplication did not happen in the prayer of Jesus. The multiplication happened in the giving of the disciples. And as they gave, multiplied. They had the multiplication happened more than needed. He gave them a fish. I got a fish. I got more than a fish. You know, I don't even know. A fish and a quarter. I don't know. They had so much left over. Everyone ate it all. And they had so much food. What did Jesus do? He sat up there and he said, Father, thank you. You know what thank you means? I already have it. We say thank you when we get a present. And when the moment we say, we grab it, we say, thank you. Jesus lived in a different atmosphere. And he sat there and he said, Father, thank you. Because you've already provided everything we need. You've given us life. And I thank you. It's going to become even abundant. He's just like, Father, thank you. Okay. They're just like, Okay, Jesus, we don't get it. Different system, different mindset. And all of a sudden, bam, multiplication. Jesus never panicked. Remember the story of where Peter comes to Jesus? He's like, we don't have enough money to pay taxes because your boy who you hired, your accountant, aka Judas, is jacking our money. We don't got enough money to pay our taxes now. I love Jesus. He's like, go get it. I love how Jesus speaks the language we understand. Peter was a fisherman, so he says, go to the fish. There's a coin inside the mouth of the fish. He will always speak to you the way that you hear. He speaks to me different than the way he speaks to you because I hear differently than the way you hear. He will always speak to you to your capacity. So don't think, oh no, I'm not mature enough to hear from God. Yes, you are. He speaks to you exactly the way you are able to understand him. And so as Peter goes, it's in the fish. Because I'm telling you what, Jesus already knows. Jesus, everything we ever need is already provided for. One last thought, revelation, and we're going to wrap up here. Maybe two. Remember that passage that when I got this revelation, it jacked me up. I started studying the Lord's Prayer. Amen. I love this part. It says in Matthew 6, or what chapter is it? I can't remember. It's in Matthew. It's really good. I think it's chapter 6, verse 7 or something, right around there. And he says, give us this day, what did it say, our daily bread, right? I began to research. I began to study it out. I began to study out what is daily bread. I began to compare it, all these different things. I began to study out daily bread. And I looked it up in the original, and it blew me away. That word daily bread has two meanings to it. It's singular and it's plural. Watch this. Give us today our daily bread. That's for one day, singular. That's one meaning. The other meaning, and it carries both meanings in this phrase, carries both these meanings. Not only is it for today, but it's for every single day that I'm alive. My bread is all, give us today our daily bread. Daily for today and daily for all my days. Daily bread is singular and plural. Does that make sense? Give me today my, so listen, we already know that prayer was given to us before the cross. So we know since the cross, the first part, the singular part, was already fulfilled. We now have everything we need. Here's how, and I got this revelation. This here is how multiplication works in the kingdom. This is amazing. Give me today my daily bread. I already know I got everything I need for today. The reason you think you don't have it is because you're not opening up your eyes to see what God is showing you. But I'm telling you what, the answer for your need is there. Peter and John couldn't see it, but it was there. There was a boy there. The answer, I don't know what the answer is, but the answer is where you are because the answer is already provided for you. Sometimes we don't access the answer because we don't have the revelation of what God's done for us. Never did Jesus pray, oh God, will you give us money? Oh God, will you multiply fish? No, he said thank you because he had a revelation that my Father is the King of all kings and I'm in his domain. Come on, someone say kingdom, conference. And he's like, I know what I got access to. So he says, give us today our daily bread. So the singular part is already done, finished. Now what we're doing is we're asking for the plural part. Watch this. I already have every single day bread. Already done. Here's how multiplication works. Now I'm saying, God, give me today my daily bread. Not singular, that's already done. My plural. So watch this. I'm accessing from the future my tomorrow's bread for today. I'm saying, give me today my daily bread. I already got my bread, but I want to multiply. Give me my tomorrow's bread today, because guess what? Tomorrow, it's going to be there again. It's not like I'm accessing something that's not going to be there again. Remember the manna? It was a beautiful picture. Manna was given, get as much as you need. Listen, God, today, thank you that I'm provided for, but I want to help somebody else. So I'm going to access more than I need because you're a God of overflow, but I know that I'm not going to lack tomorrow because tomorrow's another day and I'm already provided for. The next day, I'm already provided for. Next month, I'm already provided for. I already have a revelation of it. I'm telling you what, I don't ask God for money anymore. I say, show me the money. Not really. That just sounds crazy. But in a way, yes. I say, Father, you know my need, but I thank you that you've already met my need. And I just live in the abundance, knowing that as I give, as I just live my life, I have everything I need. One last example. My wife and I, we're looking for a school, what do you call it? Preschool, yes, thank you. Preschool for my daughter. She's turning 3, and there's a lot of preschools that start admitting kids at 2.5 years old. And I'm like, my wife's like, I need her to go to preschool because I had another kid, and you know, I'm trying to give her my time and all this stuff. And my lion is a lion. She roars all day long. And so we send her off to preschool. And so we were looking, and she called every preschool in our area, and they had all these requirements. And for us, we have a certain, you know, understanding of vaccinations and different things. You have yours, we got ours. You know, we live by our faith, you live by your faith, you do you, we do us, right? I'm not afraid of anything, but because of maybe we haven't met all the requirements that California needs, because they want you to inject everything into your body that isn't, this is crazy. And so, like, we're not up to date. In fact, we haven't even vaccinated my kid yet. Not that we're afraid of it, because we ain't afraid of anything, because even if I drink poison, it ain't going to affect me. But I want my daughter to, you know, to have her body develop the way God had designed it. It's already perfect. And so anyway, so we were not able to get into a bunch of schools. Like, I'm sorry, you need this. You need all these vaccinations. We're like, even if we tried to get them right now, we'd probably kill her because we need to put 20 vaccinations in her right now. It's like, that's ridiculous. And finally, my wife gets frustrated. She's like, oh, this is frustrating. What are we going to do? And I'm like, babe, listen, God's already provided for us. And I literally is like, hey, listen, do we believe this or not? Is it just a good idea or do we really believe it? And I said, Father, thank you that you've already provided everything we need. That Sunday, we're in church, and there was a lady. Somehow she gets in a conversation with Esther, and Esther's kind of like, hey, we're looking for this. She's like, hey, actually, there's a school. It's like a church school. It's like, it's part of a church, and they actually have a different system because they're a nonprofit, and the government doesn't even fund them, so they're not submitted. All these different things. She's like, call them. So the next day, Monday, my wife calls them. The week after that, my kid's going to school. And I'm like, see, babe. I'm like, when we start panicking and we start doing our way, we end up missing stuff. But I'm telling you what, she's in an amazing school. They pray. I'm telling you what, it's like they teach her the Bible. Like, it's crazy. These teachers are all, you know, love Jesus. And I'm like, this is way better than anything. And it's way cheaper than anything we could have paid. I'm telling you what, in California, $1,000 a week. My goodness, for full time. Like, we're only doing 3 days a week. But like, it's crazy. We're paying like less than that for the whole month. Like, it's crazy. And I'm just like, babe, look how God takes care of us always. We need another car. God, thank you that we have everything we need. We got the craziest deal. Everyone's like, how did you get? It's just God. When you live a lifestyle of realizing what we have access to in the kingdom, the one attribute that I want to talk about today is that attribute of overflow. And when Peter got that revelation, he said, Peter, James, and John, come out here. And all of a sudden, not only Peter's boat was full, overflowing. Fish were coming out. The nets were breaking. If there was one more fish, the net would have broke. Like, God is abundant. And I'm telling you what, all of a sudden they come. They fill up their boat. 2 empty boats became 2 full boats. God can only use what's empty. Is your life full of you? If it's full of you, you'll be limited to you. I don't want my life to be limited to me because I'm pretty limited. Come on now, we're pretty limited without him, but with him, we access a whole nother kingdom. We access a whole nother culture. We access overflow. And I'm telling you what, I don't know what's going on in your life today, but God sent me here today to start off this conference tonight and just to break some stuff, some mindsets, and to realize that in his economy, it's a different economy. It's a different rule. It's a different structure. And I'm telling you what, when we begin to tap into that, something begins to happen. And when Peter got that revelation from verse 5, calling him master, to now verse 8, calling him Lord. And he says, oh, Lord. Notice the terminology change. You know what Lord means? Owner. No longer are you just a master or a good teacher or someone who's educated. You are Lord, which means I no longer want to be in control of my life. I want you to be the captain of my ship every single moment of my life. And Jesus is like, come on, let's go follow me. He's like, in a moment, he left everything. Imagine, In today's time, if this happened, if Jesus did this to somebody, they would write books, they would write blogs, they would probably become millionaires because of the story. And they would live off that one miracle. But Peter was like, listen, I don't want just that one miracle. I want my whole life to be filled with this. I want my whole life to be lived in overflow by releasing. Can we stand to our feet? I don't know what you're going through in your life. Oh my God. Scared me. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but I just felt like God wanted me to just share just one aspect of the power of his kingdom. Grab this room. And if you're here today and you're saying, you know what? honestly, I've been living a pretty selfish Christianity. It's been about me. It's been about me receiving, me getting my prayer, me getting my, me. I believe there's an atmosphere here today of the kingdom of God. And there's always a certain grace in certain atmospheres where something just gets released. And Jesus walked in and bam, they were all healed. Jesus walked in and bam, that was amazing. And Jesus walked in, it was crazy. And you know what's interesting is Jesus preached the greatest sermon of all time. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, right? And I think I have that verse. It's in Matthew. There's one more verse that we didn't hit. The Sermon on the Mount. And he starts off in chapter 5. He preaches it, what chapter is it? The Sermon on the Mount. Do you guys remember? I have the verse up here. Is it 5? He preaches it 5, 6, and 7. It's a long sermon. It's powerful. And you know how he starts off the sermon? You know what his first line is? Do you have that verse? You don't have it? I have it somewhere on my phone. He says something about the kingdom. Here it is. No, that's not it. Matthew chapter 5. Go. Check this out. The first phrase, I just want to get it right. His first thing that he's, the most powerful message ever, his first thought is verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. I mean, if you're going to start off a message, you got to start off with a bang. His first statement on the greatest sermon ever preached. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What's he saying? Blessed are those who are poor. What does that mean? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who don't want to just access the poorness of this world, because I have come to bring my kingdom to your messed up mentality. He says, listen, you're blessed. Watch this. Why? Because I'm about to release my kingdom to you. The poor in spirit, the ones who are no longer want to be connected to what's in this system. He's like, listen, I have come to bring you another culture, another mentality, another system. And I'm telling you what, I believe there's something in this atmosphere today, and God is going to begin to literally release an overflow. I believe there's something amazing in this atmosphere. And if you're here today, I'm going to ask you to take a big step of faith. Now, there's nothing magical about this, but I just like doing this because it's just a physical step of faith of what God is doing in spirit. If you're here, now, you're not limited to this, but I just love doing this because it's just, I don't know, it's just a churchy thing. It's not a spiritual thing, it's just a churchy thing. If you're ready to say, man, God, I'm tired of living just for myself. I want to live a life of overflow. I want to give like I've never given. I want to believe like I've never believed. Man, if we're still tied to, oh, I got to give another 10%, are we still tied to such a small thinking? The Old Testament gave 10%. That's an Old Testament. In fact, before the law came, the law took it. Abraham had a revelation. I'm going to give this 10%. And then it became the law. It became a law. This is what you have to do. In the Old Testament, they gave 10%. In the New Testament, we don't give 10%. We give everything. We give everything. And if you're here today and you're ready for a new level of the kingdom of God to begin to manifest in your life, I want to just flood the altars real quick. And if you're here today and you're saying, man, I want to step out and I want to see overflow. I want to see abundance. Life is for me, but overflow is for everybody around me. And I want everywhere I go, everywhere I step, I want to see the kingdom of God activated. And I want to see people get blessed because I was there. And if that's you here today, I want you just to come up here. We want to just flood these altars. If that's you and you say, man, I want to walk at a new level of the kingdom of God, I just want to meet you up here. Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Ready to live in that abundance. Ready to live in that new level of revelation. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just trying to give you an opportunity to physically respond to something that God is doing internally in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.